Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
I was blessed so amazingly by listening to what Al shared last week. And Al Niket, every time he shares, I see this practical reality, a case for grace walking on the earth. Someone who is amazingly comfortable in his own skin, knows, is just happy to be in relationship with Daddy. And he opened up by saying, I'm not a pastor, I'm a father, I'm a friend, I'm a businessman. You know, and he just shared, you know, and so with that, as the question just came to say, do you change your shirt when your wife suggests you change? And all those with gray and white hair, we all said yes. Those who didn't, I thought about something Al had shared. He said there's first self-absorption, then there's self-awareness, then there's God awareness, and wife awareness. I'm adding one, Al. God awareness and wife awareness, they seem to just go together. So anyway, it really was powerful. And if you let that sink in, one of the things I thought that was cool about that, and I'm going to visit it another time, I find it interesting at different stages of my life, and I see it true in others, and this hopefully is good news, the people or the area of your life that you're confident you're not self-absorbed is a yellow light. The person in the room that's going, well, that's good. That's not me anymore. I'm not self-absorbed. Okay. The one who's concerned they are is in self-awareness. You're in that place where the Holy Spirit is convicting you of your righteousness. And then God awareness is where you let go of it all and say, he's got it anyway. So who cares? So anyway, with that, how many people have been confronted, maybe even recently, with circumstances that stink? Circumstances that seem challenging. Circumstances that don't appear to have an answer. Even worse, circumstances that don't make sense. They don't seem to align with his promises. Okay? And so we talk about often and hear this. I know we'll always hopefully visit it. The awareness of what it's like to be right with him and what it's like to not be right with him or believe a lie that we're not right with him. So when those things come, those circumstances, those challenges that cause us to be confused and frustrated, those things, it's an opportunity to respond or react. We've been trained to react. And what's the reaction? When you're hit with something horrible, so often, isn't it to get tight? Isn't it to retreat, defend, fight or flight, the amygdala triggers? We don't even know. We lose all reference to all the truth and all the promises and all the peace that's at our fingertips. So I got hit this week twice by something. I won't go into them today. It's not that I wouldn't. I would love to. But I got rocked by things, and in the moment, different than often, when, not unlike anyone else, my amygdala fires, my fight or flight, I cling to the flesh for a moment before I settle. However, this time, I was reminded of something that changed my life years and years and years ago. I say years and years, it's maybe 10. When I was sitting with someone teaching, and the one thing I remember from what they taught was, I don't know much, but I know my God. I don't know much, but I know my God. And you could add that with anything you want. He is good. He always keeps his promises. He always has in the past. It just became this trigger. So the world triggered me with circumstance, but now there's an anchor. My soul's anchored in heaven. I can simply say, you know what? I don't know. I don't know yet, but I know my God, right? So, Daddy, we're opening up that way this morning. Thank you that we don't have to know anything but you. and what you did for us. Thank you that this morning, right in this moment, each of us are blessed to know you and know that we don't have to know anything but you. Everything else we have an opportunity to take hold of, to carry, to share, all the truths that are at our fingertips, we get to walk with those things. We get to walk in the manifestation of those things. We get to appreciate them and enjoy them. But we don't need anything but to remember that we know you and you know us. So thank you, Daddy. Thank you for what you have in store this morning. Amen. With that, I don't know much, I know my God. Scriptures flooded to my mind that have been empowering. I'm not going to go read them. I'm just going to say 2 Deuteronomy 16:9, I think it is.
Not 2 Deuteronomy, so it'd be...
Yeah. Okay, thank you. So it's 2 Chronicles 16:9. Thank you for the... Thank you for the cemetery training, Bill. All I know is the word says something really cool, and it is that that God actually looks to and fro. He searches. He's on the prowl, seeking for anyone to strengthen. His will is not one be lost. So at any moment, He's longing for me to remember, wait a minute, I don't know much, but I know my God. He's actually waiting to strengthen me. Amen. Just say it. And then in Deuteronomy 4:29, it says, but, and it's a powerful but if from there, right there, right in that moment, right in that circumstance that rocked you, but if from right there you seek your God, you will find Him. It's a promise. It's just saying you will. Just all you have to do is turn. Maybe it's all you got is go, I don't know much. I don't even know how to believe. But that moment you sought Him, He will. You will find Him, He says. So the kind of a review of all that Case for Grace ends up being about, and also... tying back to a very sloppy last time I was here with the Titanic, bouncing around on all kinds of topics. But the, I just wanted to illustrate today that it, because it kind of lays a foundation, if you will. There is, we always talk about these two paradigms in here. One is where we are separated from God and we are seeking to be right, to make sense of life, to be in control, self-righteousness. The law elevates that effort, right? And then there's what Jesus did for us. Did we deserve it? Was it merit? I don't even like focusing on we didn't deserve it. The point is, unmerited gift, this favor. He did a favor forever. It's this gift, this unmerited favor that He came and did for us and gave us forever so that we are now right with God, righteous forever in Christ Jesus, right? So with that, we are in oneness, in relationship. It was our intended design. So you know how when something is used the way it was meant to be used, you hear somebody play a harp, or music just right, it just resonates. There's something about music that resonates. Or if there's in a sport like tennis or golf, if you hit the ball just right, there's just a sweet spot. And you know it's its intended design. The club, boom, there's just a ping. And it's just, it's
100 shots.
Yeah. Just enough to keep you coming back. The one each time. It's exactly all it is. Thank you, I agree. But when it's in its intended design, you and I have an intended design. We were created to be the lover of our love, to be in relationship with Him. That's it. That's all this love story is about. And the fall, you'd go, well, if that's what He made us for, then why did He even make a fall possible? Would the relationship be as meaningful if we were robots? Right? Is love truly love without choice? is choice truly choice without consequence? So there was a consequence to whether or not you and I say yes. So it's a love story that said, I've got it. I love them. I made them. Finally, the one thing in my own image that I long to be with. Now, if you love something, remember the poem in high school for those of us with gray hair? I don't know if it's still around, but if you love something, let it go. If it comes back to you, it's yours. If it doesn't, it wasn't yours in the first place. You know, when you were dating in high school and you had the first love and, you know, you break up and you get that letter, right? So anyway, but that's what God was willing to do to have true love reign in our hearts and encounter is to let that take place, but to pay the price and have a perfect design where he wants not one to be lost. He seeks to and fro every second of every day from now until he comes back in the hopes that every single creation that was created to be in oneness with him embraces that, right? And is reconciled to that truth. So, the bottom line here is, the summary of this is, it's all him. And that's the disclaimer that we give every time, right? Even though we choose to come here and kind of get in the gym and work out a little bit and become aware of places that aren't in alignment in our life and be open to say, wait a minute, let's unpack that, right? We're not afraid to say, I feel frustrated or I have unbelief. Those aren't bad. It's Holy Spirit conviction of our righteousness. You're right. You are good with God here. So if you're not feeling that way, or if you're in unbelief, then let's come back into alignment. Let's find the truth. Confess that truth so that we are then renewed. Our mind is changed to be in its intended design. So with that... last week when I mentioned the Titanic, I said it doesn't matter how many times you rearrange the deck chairs, how much you polish the brass, right? All we were referring to is, even now, all of us that are living from here, we don't want to be like the Galatians when Paul said, what happened? Galatians 5:4, he says, you went back to depending on you, to the law, to your own efforts. You have elevated your own efforts and diminished grace. The words that he actually uses, which are amazing to me, different versions, separated, severed from Christ, of no effect. You've made Christ of no effect. But this is the one that I've fallen, is another one. You've fallen from grace, but estranged. You've become estranged from Christ. Has anyone got a little sick feeling for just a moment? It's not that you should feel condemned. It's just the thought of being estranged from my lover. And it was only because I turned. It's easy. It's not no condemnation. So anyway, coming out of it being finished and entering back into an unfinished paradigm is the point there. So, where are we going today with all this? And do we have any time left to go there? We do. So here's the thing. For the next few weeks, as we're together, and in the midst of that, I hope there's more sharing that goes on, depending on... We won't have Bill because he's going to Africa. Perhaps we'll pray over him as we close out today for his journey that's coming soon. And love to have Al share again and just what'll go on. But basically... this beautiful word of abide happens to be, I don't know how to pronounce it in Greek, but it's meno, is how we'll pronounce the Greek word in English. And meno, okay, thank you. So abide, from John 15, it's where Jesus says, I am the branch, right? I mean, I'm the vine, you are the branch. Okay, in fact, let's actually look at it. I'll read it for you just to hear it because it's powerful.
Is that paper?
It is. I know. How about it? Just today I felt like I'd be more Christian. And I would invite you to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal this to you differently than the way you've ever heard it before. You may not have heard it the way I did. I'm going to share the way I heard it and the way it's, I believe, intended. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What's the antithesis of that? In me, you can do anything. You can do everything. All things through Christ who strengthens me. So if anyone is not abiding in me, okay. So the reason I asked to invite you to listen to it differently, how many people have heard that and at least questioned, uh-oh, I wouldn't want to be cut off. Mm-hmm. Honestly, right? Or, uh-oh, prunings. Why does he have to say that? All right, prune me, Lord. Okay, if you study the tenders of the vine, it has different meaning than what we perceive. First of all, the most important part to recognize is you are already a branch. You're already a branch. Okay? And so not only that, you go, okay, but I don't want to get cut off. Who did he say does the bearing? You or him?
Him.
So you can't get cut off. He's the one. He's the vine. You're the branch. You're in the vine. He says you can do nothing without me. So he's the answer. You're in. Relax. Let it flow. Now, can I impede the flow? Can I cut myself off? Can I literally take the life force? So if this is the vine and I'm the branch in the vine, could I reach back and take a hold of the vine and squeeze it to where the grace is limited in its flow? I don't like this example because it suggests I'm stronger than he is. I'm not. I'm only referencing Galatians 5:4 that suggests I can forget it at least and mentally operate and walk on this fallen earth, forgetting the truth and therefore not believing it and therefore not seeing what wants to be seen and allowing that life force to flow.
Yeah, the receiving aspect of that.
Yeah, just the receiving. Thank you. Yeah, we're just, it's, and it's a life force. The point he's making there is the vine sends the life force and the branch just lets it flow through and therefore it bears fruit, right? Now, what about the pruning though, David? The pruning. Well, and I get that, and it's true, but it's interesting that if you study, as I'm told, the pruning of a wine vine is actually the selection of the good branches and the intending them for better growth. It's literally taking that branch. Yesterday, I'm cleaning some stuff up, and we've got this Morning Glory Passion fruit vine, and we actually want to keep it. It's pretty. The butterflies come to it. So as we're pulling out the stuff that tries to choke it out, I find a really healthy branch, and I laid it in a barren area. Why? What's going to happen? It's going to take over. It's going to actually... So, and in the pulling out of the bad stuff, did some flowers fall off? Is there some pruning aspects to enhancing the growth? But is it a punishment of that branch?
No.
Not at all. It's what we do in here. It's us saying, allow me the self-awareness that Alan talked about last week is allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal, allowing the feelings you're feeling to reveal where you can believe more truth. Realizing my unbelief is nothing but an opportunity to run to Jesus and give it to him because he's seeking to and fro to strengthen my unbelief. He's saying, but right there, if from there, I will strengthen it. So with that, as we look at abide over the weeks ahead, and now I'll get to what the listening that Clark talked about, there's a rest component to being in Christ, isn't there? And abiding has a relationship to that, okay? There is a faith component, right? We've all heard it's impossible to please God without faith, and we seem to forget the next part of that. He is a rewarder. It's Him that provides the faith. I don't know much, but I know my God, and I know He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. I know it's His good pleasure to give me His kingdom. I know that He longs for me to do nothing but believe on Him. That's it. He's the author and finisher of my faith, right? So then, just for time, peace, these are things we'll look at. Peace is, He's the Prince of Peace. He promises peace. In abiding, there's peace. There's hope, right? And then this one is, out of all that, there is a, I want to call it prophesying, but there is bringing heaven to earth here now. I have no idea how to spell prophesy. I even looked it up and couldn't figure out how to spell prophesy. I went to the internet and could not figure out how you spell prophesy. So anyway, there you have it. If anyone knows, tell me after class. But the, yes, what? That's prophecy, isn't it? Or is it the same word? Anyway, okay, thank you. So you get it. I'm told that intelligence is demonstrated by the ability to spell things differently than everyone else. So this is reigning, right? We're called Romans 5, 1, what, 17 or whatever. We reign through the one man, Jesus. It's bringing heaven to earth now. It's having dominion. It's being able, because we're in an abiding space and place, we're able to see what wants to be seen or hear what wants to be spoken and speak it. We're able to encourage one another. I skipped a very important one. Sorry, I'll put it in here. It's pray. He says pray often, right? There's a part where they see the disciples twice, where the disciples say to Jesus, why couldn't we cast this one out? And Jesus says this one takes prayer one time and the other time prayer and fasting. But as I look at abiding and the association to prayer there, abiding has reference to a place. It has a, so does the word pray when you look at it in the Greek and Hebrew definition. It's a special place. It's an anointed space and place. It's, so some of the other definitions of abide are to remain, to sojourn or tarry as if in a place, not to depart, to continue to be present. Has anyone spent too much time in the past? Has anyone ever spent too much time worrying about the future? But see, abiding is being right here, tarrying and being present right here. Prayer, therefore, takes real prayer, the effectual prayer, the prayer that doesn't call for the effort we're used to trying to say, okay, you got rocked this week by somebody, and one of the things I got rocked by was somebody with something that's bad, health-wise, okay, really bad. And it was a second round of bad news, okay? And only thing I had was, I don't know. I don't know much, but I know my God. So if I'm going to pray, and they ask for us to stand with them, for me to pray out of unbelief, it's better than not praying at all. Mm-hmm. But why not abide and know that, but if from there I seek Him, He will be there. And He will, me sharing openly with Him is the prayer. So when Jesus said, when they said, why can't we cast Him out? I'm suggesting, I'm not claiming to know. I'm suggesting there's an aspect of abiding in oneness with Him as a lifestyle that continues to compound in a way that there's a prayer lifestyle that affects that. And it's not something we have to do. He does it. It's not a maturity. It's not work to it. And once we get the cup full enough, will be there. You are there right now in abiding. And tomorrow you may forget it and not be the one to get the lame kid to walk that or the mute kid to speak that time. So what? It's all good. Your only design and purpose is to be in oneness with Him. He's got it, right? So the, I'm just getting, I want to cry. I want to shake. I get it. I'm so excited about what this means in our lives. But for that, since we talked about listening, to wrap up, if we're going to go these places, it's great to say what abiding is. But I found when I got rocked by those things, and I saw you agree that when you get rocked by these circumstantial things, here's what happened with the other one. The other one was someone that had some challenges, and I heard their language, and I recognized it as my own language. They got rocked by a situation where everything they had planned for the next year that involved investment of money, moving their residence, all these things changed on a dime, not by their choice. And all of a sudden, that person started saying, so I don't know if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Should I do this? Should I do that? They start shitting all over themselves. There was no toilet paper available. It was a mess. We'll edit that one out, won't we? They were just shooting, they start.
You'll need captions underneath when this.
But here's what I realized: how often do I say I'm abiding and waiting to hear from God, but I'm not listening because I'm talking? No condemnation. But I'm going. Well, what if this? And what if that? And what if that? I'm elevating the circumstance. So if Isaiah 40 was the motivation for this whole thing, where he says, do you not know? Have you not heard? And in the interest of time, I won't read the whole thing, but it goes on to say the everlasting God, the creator of all things, it says. So do you not know? Have you not heard? It's rhetorical. You do know. You have heard of this everlasting God. You do know and you have heard that he created all things, including you and the circumstances you're in. And it goes on to say, young men, they'll get tired. The strongest Christian you know, they'll fall. They'll be feeble. You name it. But guess what? Those who wait upon the Lord, those who receive what I died to give you, my rest, those who just listen, which got your attention from Clark last week. You'll hear, and it's expectant listening. It's not, okay, I'll wait. I'm not hearing. I'm just not hearing. Anybody got a Q-tip? No, it's wait expectantly knowing he'll answer, so I don't even need to listen for the answer. Just wait is what Clark was really saying. The point is, if waiting upon the Lord is the answer, if listening is the answer, then there must be a not listening state of being, right? And when we elevate the circumstance, we're actually worshiping the circumstance. No condemnation. It's just great to know you're a worshiper at all times. It's just shifting what we're worshiping, not in some works or effort, just the chance to say, when I say I don't know much, I know my God, I just elevated God, I'm a worshiper, I'm worshiping God instead of the circumstance. And the life force of the vine is already flowing because the branch has its branches outreach to allow the fruit to flow, to allow the power and the life force to flow. It's just that easy. It's just turning. 2 Corinthians 3:17, those who turn to the Lord, the Spirit comes. God is the Spirit. The Spirit comes. And then we look as if in a mirror at the glory of God. What's a mirror? A reflection. And it's saying His glory, you see yourself, right? This opportunity to abide, this opportunity to rest, this opportunity to hear, to know that he's seeking to strengthen, that if from there, all I have to say is I don't know much, but I know my God. Thank you, God, that we know you. And thank you, we don't have to know anything but you and you crucified and what you did for us, and that we are worshipers and that we can elevate you and watch you work in our life. So, we said we're going to pray for Bill. I also want to get out of the way of the worship team in their prayer. So in one moment, we can all just abide and thank God for his favor on Bill and Tammy and their trip to Africa. Amen. Just like that.
Amen.
And it's far more powerful than any words we could have said. And so thank you, Daddy, for your abiding blessing and experience of life. Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you.